December the 12th, three games, not in-season tournament games. So whether that makes a difference to you, I don't know. We've got a couple of injuries to talk about. We've got a little bit of discussion around what the schedule looks like now this week. It has changed following the completion of the in-season tournament cup quarterfinals yesterday. Let's get into it. This is the Thursday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter and on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find us and subscribe to us. Download as many episodes as you like, as many times as you like. We would appreciate that. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Go and find them. Go and find Dan Bespris at Dan Bespris, B-E-S-B-R-I-S. Just released or just tweeted out and released, I think last night our time, a show that I did with Dan a couple of days ago, which was a lot of fun. If you've got 45 minutes, I want to say, go and have a listen. We were joined by Scott Bogman. A lot of fantasy basketball people might not know who he is. He used to host a show. Well, he used to host a show on his site for his brand in this league. But he also did a show with Dan called The Real Big Three. It was probably one of my favorite shows. They stepped away from fantasy basketball because they had so much football stuff to do. So he hasn't done a basketball podcast for about 4 years. It's been a while. And Dan had no idea that I was getting him on the show. So it was there's a good reaction from Dan. They caught up. We talked about a lot of stuff that's not related to fantasy basketball. But we did talk basketball as well. Bogman came with a lot of questions for Dan and I. So if you do have some spare time, I would recommend going and listening to that because it was a lot of fun. We will get into the games, but firstly, just on the schedule. So I was listening to Josh's show, one of them yesterday, I think, and he talked about the schedule, the fact that it's changed, and I thought I should probably mention that as well. Now that we've had the in-season tournament cup quarterfinals, we know who the semifinalists are, but it means we have some extra games this week that weren't on the initial schedule. So on Saturday, there are only two games, the semifinals for the NBA Cup. Hawks play the Bucks and Rockets play the Thunder. So 8:30 a.m. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the times. So they're the two games on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have the four losers from the NBA Cup facing off against each other in regular season games. So obviously not in-season tournament. The Knicks play the Magic and the Mavericks play the Warriors. So we have two extra games on Sunday as well to close out the week. So just be aware of that. It might affect your schedule if you do have games, caps, or that sort of thing. But something to monitor for the remainder of the week. All right, I see a couple of questions. Very good. Let's just get into the games first of all. So, like I said, three games tonight. First game, Detroit at Boston for the Pistons. Jalen Duren is questionable. If he misses time, this would obviously be Isaiah Stewart stepping into the starting lineup, I would assume, and probably worth grabbing him on a low-volume night. Oh, sorry, always yawning in the morning. One of the downsides of doing early morning shows. Paul Reed would also play some minutes. Whether he'd play enough to be someone we're considering in standard leagues, I don't know. Obviously, Isaiah Stewart is not that good, so there is a chance that if he's not playing well, we see 20 minutes of Paul Reed, and that can be enough. So keep an eye on the updates for Jalen Duren. Asar Thompson is also off the injury report. Still more of a stash for me, although I'm not sure we're going to get to any sort of ceiling this year. But we'll see. I think I've maybe got him in an IR spot in one league. That's about it. For the Celtics, they are without Jason Tatum. He continues to be, well, rested. I don't think this is serious. I think they're taking the opportunity to give him a couple of nights off game-wise, which will end up being more than a week off. So, nothing to worry, I don't think, about with Jason Tatum's knee. Sam Hauser also out. Al Horford will play. So presumably with Hauser out as well, their options here are going to be moving Horford into the starting lineup alongside Porzingis or starting Peyton Pritchard. I think they really like Pritchard as that sixth man. So they, as projected here on Basketball Monster, I think Horford might get the nod. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, they're not up against a particularly big team, especially if Duren is out. But I'm not sure they'd be confident sort of rolling anyone else out there in that starting lineup other than Peyton Pritchard. Maybe they do go that way. I really don't see them playing Cornette alongside Porzingis starter as well. So we will see. But in terms of streaming, it would have been Hauser here, but Hauser's out. With Tatum out, I think it's just a lot more for Brown, White, Holiday. Like, those guys will just do more stuff. I don't really see a clear target here. It's hard to know with that center rotation because Tillman comes in, Cater comes in, Cornette comes in. I guess if we're looking at players that can play at the four, it's probably Cater or Tillman, but yeah, it's a lot of uncertainty, which makes streaming pretty tough. All right, Toronto at Miami. For the Raptors, no Scotty Barnes, obviously. Still no Emmanuel Quickley or Bruce Brown. So who do we grab here? I'm assuming Dick is rostered. Grab Dick if he is available. RJ Barrett should step up. Assist numbers will go up, assuming his teammates are hitting shots. So it's probably Agbaji. I think we saw him earlier in the season. He was a 12-team fringe sort of guy. So if he was dropped, which he very well could have been, and rightfully so, I would probably have him at the top of the list just purely because he's going to play the most minutes. Davion Mitchell, he might be next. He very unfriendly fantasy game. But if you just need assists, then I think so. Jacoby Walter, I'd like to see him out there a bit more. Jonathan Mobo probably gets some more minutes as well. But again, his game isn't necessarily built for fantasy. And maybe we get some more Kelly Olynyk. That's sort of what I'm watching here. Let's see what Agbaji can do production-wise, and let's see how many minutes Olynyk can get. For the Heat, we've got Jimmy Butler probable. He's basically going to be on the injury report every game, I think, moving forward. Assuming that he plays, that obviously takes some of that shine off guys like Jaime Jaquez. Nikola Jovic, although he hasn't been playing a lot, Pelle Larsen. So we're looking at Hayward Highsmith if you need steals, not much else. Terry Rozier if he was dropped. I feel like he's going to get going at some point. I don't know when that point is and what getting going looks like for Terry Rozier anymore. I think we'd take sort of 16 to 20 points and 4 or 5 assists. That would be nice. So Rozier, fine, give him a look. But they're relatively healthy here. Oh yeah, Chad's just popped in the chat there. Kevin Love, yeah, maybe 15 minutes. I agree, we might get that, but that's not really standard league worthy, I suppose. Sacramento at New Orleans, last game of the night. I picked up Kevin Huerter in one league last night. I think it's a 16-team league. Yeah, 16-team league. He's been playing over Keon Ellis. Ellis hasn't necessarily been in the rotation at all for certain games. So they've got their – well, they seem to be locked in on this new starting lineup with Malik Monk. And then if Kevin Huerter can play 25 to 28 minutes off the bench, he's been pretty good in the last couple of games. So that's why I've picked him up, just to see what he can do tonight. Isaac Jones returns. Now, he's not a name that a lot of people would necessarily know, but he was playing well before his short absence. He was playing basically as the backup center, 18 minutes a night. He can get some defensive stuff, rebounds. He's efficient. Not a 12-team league target by any means, but in deeper leagues, if he is hitting the 15 to 18 minute mark, he's worth keeping an eye on while Trey Lyles is out. I also do like Orlando Robinson. So I like both their sort of backups here, but it was Jones before he had to miss games. Then Robinson saw some minutes, so we'll see what they do here. Keegan Murray is, I guess, if he was dropped, maybe you stream him in and hopefully you catch him on an upward trend, that'll do. Pelicans, not that this would usually matter, but Jeremiah Robinson-Earl has been ruled out tonight. So that will mean that Daniel Tice is going to play those backup minutes. He returns from injury. And they're still without all of those other guys.
I
had a late night at the movies. We went and watched Red One with the kids last night. So I thought it was okay. For anyone curious, probably no one. I thought it was decent. Yes, so they will roll with a starting lineup of DeJounte, CJ, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, and Eve Misi. Brandon Boston, I think with Ingram out, is probably our main target here in terms of who might be available in your league. Boston, a little bit like Agbaji, could have been dropped because other players were coming back, but then re-injuries, new injuries mean that these guys might have another week, 2 weeks, month of value. We just don't know. And yes, Sleeping Jimmy says, better news with Scotty Barnes. Re-evaluated in a week. Doesn't mean he's back in a week, but it does sort of indicate that maybe it's 2 weeks rather than reevaluated in a month, which is like what we've had with Franz Wagner. So, yeah, look, probably as good as we could expect with Scotty Barnes there. And that's probably all of the streaming stuff for today. Let's just get to a few questions that we've got. Okay, so I got so Lone Des got Desmond Bane, gave up Schroeder and Sexton. Did I still win? Yeah, I mean, that's Sexton's a tough one because he's a good player, I think. He's just not – he's on the wrong team. They're not playing him. There's no need to play him. They're just terrible. I actually think he is a player who normally in these situations we look at these guys who are playing on bad teams and think, well, if they're traded, their fantasy value is shot. I actually think Sexton, if he was traded, would move into a better situation, even if it was coming off the bench. If he's just playing on a better team, I feel like his numbers would go up. So there's a little bit of uncertainty there. I still think Bane is probably the best player in that trade. And on the surface, maybe you gave up a little bit too much by giving up Schroeder and Sexton. But again, it does depend what your waivers look like And honestly, I think Schroeder and Sexton are both probably outside the top 100 when all is said and done. And you can stream in that kind of value in a lot of leagues. So I don't think it's, I don't think it's too bad. All right, Sipping Jimmy. Duren is bust of the year. He's pretty close. Yeah, he's been bad. I dropped him for Misi. Fair, I think. Misi has been playing really well. There's no sign of Zion. I still hope that Duren can turn things around at some point, but my confidence dips every game that we see. Chad says, Cater could be a stream. He could. But as I said, it's hard to know with the Celtics because they change that backup center rotation. It seems like on a nightly basis. This dick is an upgrade over the dick that was in the mailbag. There you go. Where are we? We've done that one. Oh, here we go. Jay Sizzle, able to trade Duren for Keegan Murray. I think that's fine. I think both are playing bad. Very different in terms of their value, like what they bring. But I do think that that Keegan's role is at least relatively secure. And I feel like there's a path to him improving. Duren, I'm not sure there is this season. I'm really disappointed because I was high on him. So I think it's fine. I think taking Keegan Murray, you lose some blocks, you lose some rebounds. Although in saying that, Keegan Murray is a decent rebounder and he will get you more points. He will get you more threes. He will probably get you more steals. So I think that is okay. Good to know about Red One, says Slipping Jimmy. The Aussie school holidays are fast approaching. They are indeed. My daughter is already on holidays. My son's got 3 days left, I think. We went and watched it at, I don't know where you are, but we went and watched it at the Sunset Cinema, which for anyone that cares, it's an outdoor cinema, which here where I live in Canberra is held at the Botanic Gardens. So sit outside on the grass and there's a bar set up and some food vans. So we had some food and a couple of beers and watched the movie. And it was a nice night. It's obviously summer here in Australia, so nice night, bats flying overhead. There's hundreds of bats that live out there. So, yeah, it was good. It's always a good night out there. Where do we value Misi? I see people talking about Olynyk, Williams and other centres, but Misi, it seems, flying under the radar. Yeah, he is a little bit. Where do we value him? He's a good example of where we probably don't want to look at ranking. So let me just pull up his game log, box scores, that sort of thing. So yes, he is a very good example of rank, not necessarily reflecting value, because if we look at his rank over the last, let's say over the last 2 weeks, he's outside the top 100 in standard leagues. I think that's what the settings I've got. Yep. So he's outside the top 100 over the last 2 weeks. And that would sort of tell you, okay, he's probably fringe. He's probably worth holding, but I'm okay to move on from him. But the reason for that low rank is his free throw percentage is very low. So 68% on 4 attempts per game. He gets you no assists. He doesn't hit threes at all. But a guy that's getting you 14 and 11 with 1.5 blocks on 55% shooting has to be rostered. Where do we view him long term? Well, that sort of depends on Zion, on what the Pelicans are going to do. I do think that his role is relatively secure. Our concern is that he wasn't starting to start the season or to begin the season. They were going with Zion, Herb Jones, but I think all these injuries have presented Misi with an opportunity to step up, and he has. I think if we look rest of season, he is probably again, if we're looking at rank top 100, top 120, but he will average pretty close to a double-double with 1.5 blocks, and that is worthy of holding, I think, in a standard league. So, I do like Misi rest of season, unrelated to today, but any concern that Brooklyn might price themselves out of trading Finney-Smith and Schroeder with the first round? Look, it wouldn't surprise me. Brooklyn, notoriously not a smart franchise when it comes to trading and that sort of thing. So I don't know what they're going to do here. If they're looking at first rounders for, I guess you could make a case for Schroeder if it was the right team, and because he is a good backup. He's a very good backup point guard. I know he gets clowned on a little bit, but he has proven that himself in the NBA over years, if we think back to even when he was with Atlanta. So that one, maybe if it's the right team, I was going to say like an OKC, who just have so many draft picks and could bring him in as a backup to Shea, but obviously they're not going to do that. They don't really need anyone at the moment. But Finney-Smith, I don't think so. And yes, it does hurt the stash value of guys like Noah Clowney, who we were high on at the beginning of the season. And then even all those fringy guys that they've got that roll them out for 30 minutes and then you don't see them for a week. So it is tough. And yeah, look, Chad says, yeah, you can make the case for Schroeder, but yeah, not DFS, and he is blocking Clowney. I think there will come a point where Clowney is worth it, but I don't know when that's going to be. And then Sipping Jimmy, Misi is good by play small. Yeah, look, it's tough to know. Like I said, they were playing Herb Jones at a bit of centre, and a lot of this relies on Zion. And is he back in 2 weeks? Is he back in 2 months? Do they, what, like, where do they view him? There is a clause which I stumbled across. I think it was on Twitter earlier this week or something. There's some sort of a clause in his contract where, and he didn't meet the criteria for games played or something, and so the Pelicans can actually waive him at the end of this season and not have to pay him for the remaining years of his contract. So they're obviously, it's a big decision for them, because if they just waive him, he's going to absolutely sign with someone else. And the worry is that he gets healthy and he becomes the player we thought he might become. But it would also free up a lot of money for them to be able to rebuild around Trey Murphy, DeJounte Murray, CJ to some degree, Herb Jones, because they have got a good young core there. So, there's some decisions to be made in New Orleans. I don't know where their heads are at the moment. How many chances do you give Zion to stay healthy? I don't know. I wonder if Misi's success. Look, yeah, I think Misi has probably progressed quicker than they thought he would, which maybe that does allow them to lean into moving off of Zion at some point. And Zion to the Lake as well. I mean, that's if they look to trade him. But like I said, I believe that there is a situation here where they can waive him for nothing, really, and he'll just be a free agent. So whether he'd be willing to take some sort of a pay cut, I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. But that'll do for today's show. Things to do today. Now, will there be a post-game show? There probably will. I don't know what time it will be. It might be later today. I have a funeral to attend this afternoon, so it will just depend on how long I am at the after at the event after the funeral. It could be an hour, it could be more than an hour, if there are some school friends and things there. So there should be a show, though. There will be a live show a little bit later this morning. Now, what time did we say? Now, I sorted this out with Noah. I think it was around 8 p.m. Eastern. So in about 4 hours, there will be a live mailbag show with Noah. And then tomorrow there will be a pre-game show. I might be on Insight Fantasy Sports with Skitty doing their pre-game show as well. And still talking to Michael Waterloo about the trade talk show, which could be tomorrow, could be the next day. I think Dan Bespris and I are doing a show as well on Sunday. So lots coming up. Shout out to my wife for letting me do all of this stuff. But work is dying down, so I should have some more free time, which will be good. But that will do for today. Thank you again, everyone, for listening, subscribing, tuning in. I will be back in a few hours. I'm Adam King. This has been the pre-game show. Pre-game and post-game. I should come up with different names, shouldn't I? This has been the pre-game show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.